So I'm going to shut up so that you can share your experience during the podcast. Thanks.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Kathy. I'm a compulsive eater, and I am indeed coming to you from Albuquerque, New Mexico, along with Squeakers the cat, who is not a compulsive eater. So I want to first say thank you for inviting me. I'm delighted to be asked to share in this holiday event or holiday-ish event, and really happy to see some of my old friends. So thanks. Just to qualify, I am a grateful member of this program since the end of September of 1989, and am happy to grateful to have been given the gift of willingness to not eat my sweet binge food since January 10th of 1994. So I've been around a long time. I'm not a big book thumper, but when Ellen asked me to talk about spiritual fitness, it's like, there's this phrase in the big book. Where is that? So I just want to read you that little part of that little part. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If attempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is a miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So, yeah, easier said than done. But it's true. You know, that is a wonderful, wonderful glimpse of hope at what can happen as a result of working this program. And so I wrote down a bunch of random thoughts, and I'm going to invite my higher power to speak through me and to convey whatever it is that's supposed to be conveyed about maintaining spiritual fitness. When I came to this program, I wanted nothing to do with spirituality, nothing to do with that God stuff. Sort of accidentally or stealthily, the therapist I was working with at that time really helped me to not only look at my powerlessness, but to look at step two. And I didn't realize I was doing step two at the time, but what she asked me to do is write about everything that I couldn't explain. And that, by doing that exercise, gave me a little window into or it gave me a little perception of the presence of something greater than me, something beyond myself. I wrote about love. I wrote about inspiration. I wrote about all these things that I really had no good earthly explanation for. So that was the beginning. And in my many, many years in program, I'm grateful to say that I have, you know, developed a relationship with a power greater than myself, and who I call God, because it's a convenient word. I don't really have a better word for it, but it's certainly not the God that I grew up with, not the God that I learned about in religious school. And, you know, over time, I've developed a deepening trust in a higher power, although I think that trust and belief that things work out the way they're supposed to has been challenged quite a bit this year. With everything that we have all experienced, and I won't enumerate it because you all know, you've all lived it. Adam talked about fitness, and I was thinking the same thing in getting ready for this talk about physical fitness. You know, I'm consider myself, part of my identity as an athlete, right? And I grew up and I, you know, doing athletic things, and in order to maintain physical fitness, you got to keep doing this same stuff over and over. I got to work at it. I exercise my physical muscles. I exercise on a regular basis to keep fit. I can't just do it once every 6 months because, you know, that's going to hurt like hell if I haven't run or done whatever and I try to do it 6 months later. It's not going to be easy. And so in terms of physical fitness, it's easier to do if it becomes a habit. And that I find is the same with everything about recovery. This is just what I do, you know? And so that's the case in terms of my spiritual fitness. I have to exercise my spiritual muscles. I have to have a regular practice of communicating with my higher power. Further on in that little place in the big book, it says, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. So that, and, you know, I don't do this perfectly. None of us does. But the more that I can keep the presence of a higher power front of mind, the better I do, the calmer I am, the more serenity I experience. And, you know, I do that by working my program. I have, after all this time, I'm still terrible at meditation. You know, I'm taking these little baby steps. What I have been doing for the past over a year is actually working through the steps, and now we're into the traditions in the 12 and 12, a paragraph or two at a time. And it seems like excruciating, but it's really wonderful to, you know, and that has really helped to keep higher power front and center for me. I do have a daily practice of prayer that I do. And if somebody had told me I was going to be praying to someone named God on a daily basis when I walked in these rooms in 1989, I said, you are freaking crazy. And yet I do before I get out of bed almost every, you know, sometimes it's after I get out of bed, but usually it's before I get out of bed. And that prayer ritual has a structure. And it includes a gratitude list. And people have talked throughout this morning about gratitude. And, there's my timer. And for me, that's really, really important. And it is a way to help turn around those feelings of anger and resentment that have been up for me with all that's happened this year. So not only do I make this sort of mental gratitude list, but, you know, and I was just thinking about gratitude earlier. I, during the middle half of our program, two of my three cats were sitting on my lap. And one of those cats almost 2 years ago disappeared in the winter for about a month. And I thought there is no way this cat could have survived. And this cat did survive. And she's now been back with us for almost 2 years. And she lost half her body weight and now she's fat. But I'm so that is something that I'm grateful for on a daily basis. I love this cat so much, and I'm so grateful that she survived. There's so much every day I have to be grateful for. I work at a hospital. I've been working at the hospital, but what I do can be done remotely. I've been fussing about that. And in this week I was, allowed to start working from home, and I realized that is, has placed burdens on other people that I work with, some of the staff. And I have said a number of times this week to them, I understand that this is harder for you, and I really, really appreciate your support. So gratitude is a big thing that kind of helps me stay aware of the presence of a higher power in my life. Also, you know, some reframing. You know, around the holidays this year, that's going to be really different. And there are some things that I'm really happy about, you know, there ain't going to be all these parties and party and food and food. I don't have to make decisions about which of those to attend and which not, because they're not going to happen. And so that is a good thing. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful so much, as other people have shared, for the technology that enables me to keep in touch, keep, you know, to keep
5 minutes.
Thank you. To keep attending meetings, to be in touch with my family. On Thanksgiving, we had Zoom calls with my family and a Zoom call with my partner's family. And I'm not a tech whiz, but I managed to figure out Zoom and how to raise my hand and how to chat and how to use my microphone and not. And so I'm so grateful that we've been able to continue meeting virtually. It's really important to, in maintaining spiritual fitness, to take care of myself physically. Because I cannot hear my higher power. I cannot do the things I need to do if I'm just emotionally crazy. I can't hear my higher power if I'm eating compulsively or not eating or exercising compulsively or doing, you know, if I'm into my disease. So it really is important for me to maintain my food plan, which I commit to a sponsor. It's important to do my action plan, which includes many of the things that I've been talking about. You know, I have to keep reminding myself, although don't do it as often as I probably would benefit from, that my higher power loves me no matter what. My higher power loves me just how I am. I am a work in progress, heaven knows. And you know, for who I am, for how I am, and even when I don't believe it, right? So, and I think that goes for a lot of these things that I do to work my program, to maintain conscious contact with my higher power. I do them now because that's just what I do. That's my habit. And even when I don't believe it, and even when I don't believe this is going to work, I really believe that this is the answer to, you know, my problem of compulsive eating, to my disease, and to living a healthy, sane life. This is what I found in the steps and in this program. So at the very end of this chapter in the big book, when it talks a lot about steps 10 and step 11, you know, one of the last things in the chapter says, it works. It really does. And I believe that. I feel like, like I said, I'm a work in progress. I'm an imperfect child of my higher power. Coming back one day at a time. And I'm so grateful to have been given this opportunity to recover from this disease of addiction. And I'm so grateful to be walking that path with all of y'all one day at a time. Good to see you guys. I'm fast.
Thank you so much, Kathy. This has been a great day. So we're going to do something a little